Alex, we currently have a tie. Want to break it?
Alex.
I always feel like
Sean is low-key threatening everybody. Low-key threatening looks at everybody who's answered so far.
And welcome back to Unstable Discourse.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Baby.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's me, Alex Seminary of Disc Golf Chicago, here with Ryan Fancher of Unstable Disc Golf Gear.
Yes, sir. You didn't forget about the intros until 5 minutes into the episode this time.
Yeah. Hey. You good like job, that? Dude.
I thought about it in the shower before I got here. Good I'm just going to get it out of the way.
And now I'm thinking about you in the shower.
Yeah. I thought we were going to keep it clean.
We are keeping it clean.
He was keeping
What's
himself clean.
Than being
in the shower. Literally in the shower. Yeah. That's how you clean yourself.
That's how you keep it clean.
A lot of suds in there. Sean Callahan of Bellwood Disc Golf.
Your boy.
Jason Callahan of Bag of Tricks.
I showered today, too.
Fantastic.
Good job.
And we have special guests in the studio with us today, Mr. Patrick Haker.
Hi.
A.K.A. Eddie Bauer.
Bow Wow.
Yes.
We're going to tell people the origin story, because I just learned the origin story, which is fantastic. So
it was, for some reason, I just thought you wore Eddie Bauer stuff, and they just got you.
I don't have.
I didn't know that there was a thing.
I don't even like Eddie Bauer clothing. So
we may have to dive into the story.
They thought you were, like, cute. So they're like, you were like an Eddie Bauer model or something.
Mm.
Like that's where my head went with it.
And last but not least, we have Jason Allen in the studio with us.
Hi.
Perfect. Don't change a thing, yeah. Jason.
That's why you're here.
We also have the Deucer sitting in, but we have six people mic'd up. So you're kind of in the background today.
Yeah,
she's in the back.
Alex touching the microphone.
You got to call it out every time it happens.
How else will you learn?
Touch it. You might want to try something else because it's been
it's not
50
working.
Episodes.
Not working.
That was rule number one of this podcast is you don't touch the microphone.
Yeah.
See?
The listeners
Ryan
know.
Told us to tilt it.
What's wrong with me?
Yeah. Before
you guys told me rule number one was to keep my pants on.
Oh.
Why and why aren't they?
Yeah.
I am now why cutting off Phyllis's they? Head with a chainsaw.
Ring ding 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 ding
ding. Last we also got baby bro Max in the studio with us spectating as he has been this
whole boy.
Season.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
So this episode, we're gonna be actually before I tell the listeners what this episode is about, you mentioned 50 episodes. We haven't even called that out yet, have we?
Well,
we
last one was our 50th. This is our 51st.
Yep. The last episode, Delwood and Dragons Part mm-hmm. 2, was our 50th episode.
And yeah.
How about
didn't
that?
Didn't even make a big deal about it.
No. Well, I tried to say something at the beginning of the episode, and you talked over me.
We were too excited about what was going to happen.
It kind of got missed.
Yeah. It was still fun. It was a great episode.
Yeah.
So. Killer.
It was a good time.
Did you guys listen?
I've caught the beginning and the end, but not the middle.
That's all you needed.
Oof.
Yeah.
I've gone through the episodes this week. I was behind. I was.
By how many
shame,
seasons?
Shame, shame.
I didn't know there was 4 seasons.
Winter, spring, summer, fall, Patrick. You're a science teacher.
1 and 2, I was amazing. 1 and 2, I was like, I looked forward to it, and then like
you really fell
winter
off
happened, but
three.
Winter expanded.
So wait, Jason, you just mentioned that Patrick is a teacher.
Yes.
Let's tell the listeners a little bit, like, who are you guys? Why are you here? So we are going to be talking about getting disc golf into schools, starting clubs, and sort of like how to get. Yeah, if you have a school that you work at or your kids go to and you want to get disc golf there, we're going to talk about kind of how you guys have made that happen and how somebody else might be able to take that journey.
Hey, guys. Jason here. Because the subject matter of this episode is based around schools and disc golf, we dialed back on our typical risque discourse. During the evening's recording session, there were several opportunities for debauchery that we passed on. However, don't think for a second that we weren't thinking what you're thinking. Anytime you hear David Lee Roth in this episode, just know that we were itching to thrust our lechery into the holes of this episode's purity. Thrust.
Patrick, you want to give us a quick background?
Well, Patrick Haker, I teach at Joliet West High School. Go Tigers. I started a disc golf club after I met not Jason, but his friend who was also starting the disc golf club. It was Pleasy, Mr. Pleasy.
Josh Pleasy.
I was like, this is really cool. And I had time in between the seasons that I coached. So we started putting, and then Sean started the amazing putting league, and I like fell in love with the putting league at the prison.
Uh-huh.
And
yep.
It gave us
shout out.
Gave us more reason to go and putt and just get better at disc golf. So I put it out to a bunch of students, and a couple of them were interested, and then they brought their friends, and we slowly developed into a small group of, well, we did mostly putting inside the school in the winter.
That's probably the most accessible thing, right? That makes the most sense.
Yes.
But what do you teach?
I teach principles of biomedical science.
That sounded like Mike Strauss.
Say
for a second.
What?
It sounds really smart. It does. I teach people that want to go in the medical field, and I tell them, don't be a doctor. That's like my job.
Just crushing dreams.
Yeah, but it's fun. It's fun. We do a lot of labs.
That syllabus is one page, and it's like 72-point font. Don't be a doctor.
Here you go. Here you go.
Big circle with a line.
We'll see you at the final.
Figure it out.
It's a picture of Dr. Dre with a circle and a line through it. Yeah. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. And then Jason, give us your professional credentials.
Sure thing. I'm a math teacher at Minooka Community High School. I teach honors geometry and algebra, and we've had a disc golf club there since 2015. We had four kids who came to me and said, hey, I heard you play disc golf. I'm like, yeah, can we form a club? I'm like, okay, let's do this. Started real slow, but over the years, it's really grown. Josh Pleasey is the teacher that Patrick mentioned. The two of us have been doing it strong the whole time. Dude. We've had a really good turnout this
Fantastic.
Year. We're up to almost 40 kids, and
what?
It's great.
Like, they show up with a bus, dude.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, we have the minibuses from the school that we take to the courses. And it's so when you pull up in a minibus or even a full bus sometimes, the disc golfers are like, why wasn't that around when I was in high school? Like, they're so
Yeah, totally.
So,
totally.
So that's the dream scenario where the kids actually come to you and say, can we start a club?
Yes.
Like, dude, that's the best possible scenario.
Did you ask those four original kids how they knew stuff about your personal life?
About me?
Yeah, how'd they know that you played disc golf?
I talk about it in the class, you know, like so before the club, just like the kids knew I was obsessed that it was my, one of my biggest hobbies. And so
were you using like adding up scores as like a lesson?
No, not at that time. I do it nowadays, but
nice.
I mean, that's an important part of your disc golf career is figuring out how to do a scorecard and how to tally it up without sitting there and trying to count each one of the points of the numbers, you know?
Sure.
Were you already on PDGA?
No, I don't think I was. In fact, I became not professional, but I got into the disc golf scene because my students kept asking me, hey, how do I get into a tournament? What's it like to play in a league? And I was always like, I don't know. I just play. And so 2018, I'm like, I'm going to commit a whole season. I'm just going to play everything I can to get some more information and more knowledge. And I've been hooked ever since in the tournament scene.
Caught the bug.
Yeah.
So now we have some background on you guys. We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of this conversation a little later in the episode. Before we get to that, let's start with a little segment called Fired Up.
Fired Up.
Yeah.
This is the sarcastic version. Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. Does anybody have anything that they're, you know, raise your hand if you're super fired up about something.
Yes.
Jason, take us in.
All right. We are about to go into morel season. If you guys don't know what that is, it's morel mushrooms. They pop up in the forest everywhere.
It's supposed to be a secret.
Well, your locations are a secret.
Don't worry. Fact that no one listens season, to this.
Yeah.
In fact, this gets back to disc golf because the only reason I play disc golf is because of morels. My students told me, hey, go out to Shanahan Disc Golf Course. There's morels everywhere. So I went out there to find them, and I never found any mushrooms, but I did find disc golf. And
if you found disc golfers, then you would have found mushrooms.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
But probably not the ones you were looking for.
Yeah, I should clarify, these are morel mushrooms. They are legal. You just do have to cook them. Don't eat them raw.
They're very good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. A little olive oil.
I lived in southern Indiana for a decade, and it was a big deal down there. This time of year, people got into it. Old town was abuzz about these mushrooms. Yep.
It only happens for like a really short window.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Like maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks if you're lucky.
Really? Oh, I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so you said it's about to be morel season?
Yeah. Yeah. They haven't quite reached this part of Illinois yet. They have a morel progression map that you can check online, and it shows you reports of where people found them. I think they're a little delayed because people probably wait a little bit before they post, hey, I found it, because they want to get all theirs first before the people get to it. But
Rich Klein puts that out there. So if you know Rich Klein, he has the map posted all the time. Yeah.
Big old barefoot.
Rich I actually Klein. Did see his post on Facebook with that exact thing recently. You made a comment about the progression map, and that requires people actually like physically updating it.
Mm-hmm.
So is there like a U-Morel app?
Not that I'm the wrong guy to ask about the app, but
Facebook.
It's a callback joke from a few episodes ago. Playground. Never mind.
Yeah.
It's all right. Our diehard listeners will understand.
It was good. Hilarious. It was good.
Both of them will get it.
Flicky's probably already found 17 Morels on the U-Morel app. Yeah.
Who else is fired up about something?
I'm fired up about this week. This is my favorite week of the entire year because we go from just bare trees to leaves.
Yeah.
I love the week when it leaves out and gets rid of the sucker gaps everywhere.
That's such a good point.
I love it.
Yeah. The disc golf Plus courses are a changing in the next couple of weeks.
I just sent Sean and Sheila a picture of the one of the bushes outside my house, and it was just little buds, and I was like, it's happening.
Like,
when you drive down the street that you've been looking at that looks like garbage and brown right. and, you know, and all of a sudden it's green. Oh, it's so good.
Don't get too excited because it could like snow a foot next week as well.
Oh, this stop.
It's something that... What are you editing?
Mute. It's a good call out though on those like sneaky finger branches that you can't quite tell if they're in your way or not. Mm-hmm. It's like you think you've got a clear line and all of a sudden there's
He just had a disc golf term that I've never heard before. What's the sucker gap? Isn't that what you said?
Yeah, sucker gap.
Yeah, what's that?
It's like making it through somewhere where you wouldn't normally.
Oh, because there was nothing.
Because there's nothing there.
Or you think that there's nothing there.
Yeah, there you see a hole, but it's not really a hole. What do you think the teacher's
gonna look like this year? Got it.
Your depth perception's all weird because there's no leaves, so like you can't really tell where all the sticks are on the branches.
I see.
Well, the other thing is leaves do grab the disc pretty well. So if there's no leaves, the disc will fly through. But if there are leaves, it'll just knock it right out of the
air. Gobble it up.
Oh, we'll have to remember that for Delwood and Dragons Part 3.
Ooh, interesting. Mm.
Have you guys started prepping for that already?
Not yet. Well, I mean, we discussed it yet? No. Are we both probably mentally preparing stuff on our own? You bet.
Yep. I got a lot of DMs and comments about people that are very excited to hear there'll be a third part to that. Yep. Kudos to you guys again. God, that was so much fun. I've got a quick fired up if nobody else has
run
one.
It.
Do it.
Oh, just do it already.
You'll see. Oh, here they are. Fired up to turn 35, 30 thrive, actually.
Ooh.
Got my 35th birthday coming up.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm having a roller skating birthday party, and it's going to be very 90s and like glow and black light. And I've ordered a little shutter shades for everybody. And
they're hilarious.
Can you see? And
I can see. Let's see. There's another setting on these glasses that might change that.
Oh, still good. That's better. Yeah. No, do the fast one. I want to make sure I have a seizure halfway through this podcast. There you go.
You asked for it. So yeah, I'm really excited for that. Tinley Park Roller Rink. We're going to have a little private sesh from 3 to 6. So I'm really hoping that somebody will definitely get hurt at this, but I'm just hoping it's not me or my wife. And hopefully it's not somebody who's too old for it to be funny.
Right.
Right.
Because last time I went, I actually went to kind of practice and make sure I wasn't a total disaster on roller skates. And there was a lady, it had to be upwards of 50. And I kept saying, I'm very nervous about her being on the floor.
Your bones are way more weak.
We took a little break, got some water. Came back to the floor and there was an EMT there and they were putting that lady on a stretcher.
Oh, no.
And her leg was like completely the wrong direction.
Wow.
It was so brutal. Like, yeah, her leg was like in a very graphically wrong direction. And it was so graphic that my buddy's girlfriend saw it and just puked on the spot.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Good God.
Did it happen in the parking lot?
In a trash can right next to the lady on the ground.
Wow.
It was intense.
My wrist. That's what I'm most worried about is falling and trying to catch myself. And
you're never going fast enough. You just tuck and roll.
Yeah.
Just tuck and roll. Yep.
It's easy to say.
Yeah.
Things are easier as a kid.
These little 8-year-olds, they fall 40 times. They get right back up. It's no big deal. If any of us fall, you're probably out of commission for a few days at least. So I'm excited for all that.
And try explaining to your boss that you have to not be at work on Monday because you fell roller skating over the weekend.
That reminds me of another thing I'm fired up about.
Ooh,
I just got a new job.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Damn. Nice.
I gave my 2 weeks notice at my current job and took an offer at this other company. And my current job was like, you know what? You can have the next 2 weeks off paid. Don't worry about it. And I was like, great. So now I'm disc golfing constantly for the next 10
every day.
Days. Mm. Yep.
Attaboy.
So I'm pretty fired up about that,
too. Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
Wow.
I'll go. Ryan Stoke.
We don't have to go.
I was able to work at Callahan Acres for the first time in a long time today. Sheila and I both, we cleaned up what we call Q3. That's over in the southeast corner of the yard, which is where the second fairway will be going. This is the last portion of the three fairways that I needed to tackle. Shout out to Tom McSweeney on coming out and digging that ditch, getting all the rainwater from our yard into that ditch and getting it out of here. Made it easy for me to clean that up today. So super stoked on that.
Is Tom McSweeney the Tom M that I think
it is? Different that is Tom Matasevic. Do you know Dan McSweeney?
I think so.
Yes, his older brother, Tom. They both work for Elite Landscaping, and they've done the work out at Delhi, and he has come and is going to be doing work here, did do work here, and is going to be doing more work.
Baller. Shout out to Elite Landscaping.
Yeah. Super sick.
Awesome.
Okay. Ryan is visibly frustrated about how long we're taking on Fired Up, so let's keep it moving.
You know what, bitches? I've got it fired up. I didn't, but now I do.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
And it was the best movie in the history. No, it wasn't at all. But it was a fun movie. I saw the Mario Bros. Movie.
Oh, oh God, cool. I'm so jealous.
With my wife and daughter. And we went to Orland and we sat in like the really comfy like love seats that recline. And it was Saturday and I think it opened on Friday.
Yeah.
And there was maybe two or three other people in the theater.
That's all.
It was a matinee at 1:10 on a Saturday afternoon. I get it, but you'd think there'd be kids.
Sure.
But there was not, so it was awesome. And the movie was an hour and a half. It didn't need to be 1 minute longer than it was.
Sure.
And it was perfect for kids, and it was fun. It was a good movie.
Okay, so our age range, is there enough references there?
That is the downfall.
No?
There was just not enough. Like, the Mario Brothers are us.
Yes.
Through and through. And so the whole time I expected there to be like breaking the fourth wall, making a joke and looking at the camera like, wink.
Yeah.
You know, because non-stop. That's for us, but
right.
There was really not any of it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That kind of bumps me off.
Yeah, but otherwise, like, it was great. Like, everybody ragged on Chris Pratt being Mario, but it was like, the voice acting was, it was good.
Yeah.
It was good.
I love Jack Black as Bowser.
Yeah, and it didn't sound like Jack Black really much at all.
Right.
Like, you could tell because you knew.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just Jack Black. Like, right. It was great. Yeah, all the voice acting was really good. And the whole thing was well put together. I had fun.
That's awesome.
And I don't normally say that, because if I don't love a movie, then I'm really not into it at all. But this was like, this was a good time. So, there. Yes.
Jeez, wrap it up.
Does Bowser sing at all in the movie?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
A lot of singing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
With the guitar?
No.
That sounds actually... God, I love a Jack Black.
No saxophone. That would have been great. That would have been a really good reference that we would have loved.
Yes.
But he did not do that.
Right.
You know what I just realized? There's an important part of this episode that I forgot to tell listeners that is going to happen.
Okay.
It's the second round of Destination Penetration.
Oh, that's right. Absolutely.
It's another,
right.
another part of this episode, so we do got to get things moving.
I think I'll probably be leaving a little bit early then.
Oh. Oh no, you're in it for the long haul now. You will be penetrated, and that's the only way there is to go.
That's right. And it's a good thing that we had two guests, so that way there's still an odd number of people on the mics that we can get a definitive answer on.
Ooh, that's a good that's a good point.
That's
you will be playing.
Trying so hard not to make a penetration.
We are going to be, this is just the second of three, correct? We're not going to go all the way to one, right? We're just going to go the next
round.
We'll
penetrate, but we won't go all the way.
Correct.
I'm a teacher.
Right. Correct.
Uh-huh. So the second part is just the tip. I brought my
pencil. Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. Go ahead. Oh,
no, it's
not
okay.
Your podcast.
We're just pretending.
So.
Your students... They don't know what penetration means.
No, not at all. No, nope.
I wouldn't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
They will learn a thing or two about destinations by the end of this episode.
Yes, they will.
Now that everybody has gone, fired up.
Good job.
Why don't we dive into the Callahalander Rundown?
Let's do it. The Callahalander Rundown, late spring 2023 edition, the second half of April and all of May. We will kick it off with the fundraising flex start for close disc golf friends, the Magnusons from Roanoke. We've met them. They are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The Rip It for Reese Flex Start will help fund a wheelchair accessible addition on their home for their son, Reese. $5 to play and $5 for an optional ace. These are the same Magnusons that brought you the Roanoke Park disc golf course in Roanoke, Illinois, if you don't know. They put in a 9-hole course down there. We have not played it yet.
Mm.
I would like to. It's the same idea of Haynes Wayside. 9 holes, 2 sets of tees, 2 sets of baskets, 18-hole layout. So super sick. So come out to Delhi. That is on Saturday, the 22nd. Come out to Delhi and support this amazing family that is giving back to disc golf.
I think disc golf is more fun when you're playing for a cause.
Super fun.
Playing at the Dog Bowl is usually one of the most fun rounds I usually play of the year. And it's because... doesn't matter what my score is.
Right.
Something good's coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. Delwood Bag Tags. They are on Saturday mornings. Sign-ups at 10, tee off at 11, 15 to play, 10 for a 2023 tag. We will be doing that through the end of May, taking a break in June, July, and August. So coming out for that. A couple more Saturdays left. Sunday mornings, Trinity Links Bag Tags. $15 for a tag, 10 to play. Go see Doc over there, and that's your opportunity to go and play Trinity when you otherwise cannot. Workforce Brewing Open 5. By the time you guys are listening to this episode, it will have already gone live, but make sure you double check. There may be spots. Check that out, discgolfscene.com. All right, well, we are going to kick it over to Patrick Haker during the Kella Hallander rundown to let us know about his flex start over at the high school.
So at Joya West, everyone does the exact same fundraisers. So we thought that it would be cool to do something different. And the girls know, the girls being my cross-country team, my wife and I coach together at Joya West, they know that we run on every disc golf course. Everywhere we go, there's always baskets, and they're always used for turns. So when we were thinking of a fundraiser, people do golf outings. I was like, why can't we just do a disc golf outing on campus? Mm-hmm. So Sean has been awesome in helping out and making sure that we'll have everything we need to be able to run a flex start on April 30th. We'll meet at Joy at West at the field house. It goes from 9 to 5 o'clock. It's $10 to play with a $5 ace pot. It is sanctioned.
Whoa, cool.
We did that for... to avoid the possible alcohol and tobacco use. That was like smart. An extra bonus. Right.
Oh, good idea.
It is cute that you think that's going to stop disc golfers.
Yeah.
You know, school kind of can't do that.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a lot of fun. The football team's going to be involved by helping bring out the baskets. The cross-country team's going to be involved by leading you everywhere, spotting, selling concessions, and we're really looking forward to it.
It's going to be great. Dude,
that sounds awesome.
Super cool.
Is that a Sunday?
It is a Sunday. And if you join the ace pot, if it doesn't get hit, but there's... quite a few ace runs. Like we have like one where you go like right into tennis courts. Like there's a backstop. Like it can bounce off the fence, go in. It's definitely a run. If it doesn't get hit, it's going to go towards Jay Towns Ace Fund, which seems to get hit. I saw two aces playing
Wednesday dubs.
Okay. Same card. I saw, who was it? It was Evan Grunlund, and then same Marbs. Card Marbs acing like three holes apart. It was crazy,
dude. Yeah, those two guys. They ace.
You should allow the football team to stay there. And if somebody takes too long to putt, one of them can just run and tackle the guy for taking too long to putt.
30 seconds, go!
Yeah.
Speaking of which, J-Town Disc Golf Club has just been killing it with a Tuesday night. This is also part of the Kella Hallander Rundown. Tuesday night, Handicap League. They've been at West Park the last couple weeks and breaking records. 48 people on Tuesday. It's not confirmed yet, but I guarantee that's a record. Mm-hmm. They've been killing it. So go to jtowndiscgolf.com and get on that schedule. We also have it over at the shop. And then Wednesday night is Doubles League that travels the same courses. So take a look at the website for that stuff. And then also, last but not least, the flex that we're going to be doing over at Trinity Links on April 21st. That's a Friday. That is going to be the GJTS TDTC flex. So we're going to be playing 22 of the 24 holes for that flex.
Correct.
So you'll be able to get some good practice in there. Mm-hmm. So come check that out.
I'll be there.
Hell yeah.
Team Green.
Team Green, baby.
Shut up.
Team Green.
Can I add to the event? Jason reminded me with his cell phone. He showed me that. I forgot to mention that we are doing a raffle too at our event. I already have like InterNode, which is sells plants in Joliet, and Cafe de Casa has donated coffee, like gift cards for people.
You
for
had Sheila's curiosity. Now you've got her attention.
Yeah. So
plants,
bunch of local businesses giving out prizes for the raffle. Awesome.
Drop me a message after this. I'd like to send some stuff as well for that.
Thank you.
Well, I think that's a wrap.
That's a wrap
on the Kella Hallander Rundown.
Yep.
Which is brought to you, of course, unofficially by
DiscGolfScene.com.
Come on. I forgot his name.
What?
Really?
Oh my God.
Come on. He's the one line.
I'm bad with names. I'm terrible.
One line.
Mike?
Yes, that's it. You got it.
Thank
Come
you.
On.
It's a common Mike. Name.
Mike?
Come on.
Come on.
Mike?
Wow. Oh, Pete. It's right there. It's on the wall.
On the wall.
You're looking Jeez. At it. Jeez. You should have said it.
That was the best way to end it.
Yeah.
Come on, Mike.
Come on, Mike.
It's okay.
Come on, Mike.
It sucks as a teacher not knowing names. Like, I'm terrible. Like I the first 2 weeks I'm nervous. Like so just great. Like I don't know you. Like
that's great.
It's time to get into the nuts and bolts of this episode.
Nuts and butts.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about disc golf clubs and bringing disc golf into schools. And we have two of the most qualified people I think to talk on the subject. You guys both
that
have-
we could find.
Yeah,
right.
That we
could
that
find.
We know
right.
personally.
Yeah, that we could find.
Yeah.
It's a
we
topic.
We cast that- a very shallow net.
That's true.
Yeah, I feel great now.
I honestly been very surprised to learn how many disc golfers are teachers or who have connections at a school and haven't done something about it yet. All the time, I see somebody, like, I'll make a post about
Pat Rickard.
Doing Ooh, something like
call them out
and you Start always get a comment like I teach at this school or I you know my wife teaches here and it's like
is there any disc golf programming happening yet? And it's like, oh, well, you know, I never really thought about it. Like, what? It seems like such an obvious thing to me. Obviously, it's obvious to you guys as well. Before we start talking about the actual like topic at hand, no, I'm not going to ask you how you got into disc golf. I would love to. But what I actually want to talk about first is Eddie Bauer. Can we get the origin
real
on,
quick?
On
nutshell, Eddie Bauer.
Where did it come from?
Fast
where
as
did
possible.
It go?
All right. When
where did
I started,
it come from?
Where did it go?
Eddie Bauer Joe.
Cotton Eye Joe.
Oh, Cotton. When I started playing, I wanted to get really good. So I used to follow around the old, like the Al Hermosillo and Tom M, Twan, Hutter. I used to follow Dana. I used to follow them around and like try to pick up like little pieces of information to try to get better because I sucked.
Please, Kitty, can I have some more?
Yeah, when you say follow them around, are they playing
no,
the game and you're like hiding in the bushes?
I would be like
staring
five,
behind a leaf at them.
I'd be like five holes away and like we'd like cross paths and I'd like be like, oh, can I join? Like, and I like literally follow them around. And I guess they got annoyed by this. So I knew I needed a bag. And at Eddie Bauer, they just had these lunch boxes that were perfect for like my DX T-Birds and AVRs, and that's all I had. So I bought one of the lunch boxes, and I guess they were calling me Eddie Bauer behind my back for like a year. And then Twan got really drunk, and Twan just
that like, doesn't sound like Twan.
He's no. like, you know, Eddie, maybe it was Al the way I say it, but like one of them got really drunk, and they were just like Eddie. And then like it just came out that they had been calling me Eddie Bauer because of the lunchbox. And Twan still reminds me to this day though that at least I wasn't carrying around a JanSport bag, because I would have been JanSport.
Yes.
Yeah, and of all the sort of beginner types of bags you could go with, that seems like a pretty good choice. I mean, they could have called you Walmart bag or you know, grocery bag, or what was Amy Laskowski had shit. The reusable grocery bag.
Grocery bag, yeah.
Yeah. So that was a pretty smart choice.
Bags were also the like little box ones. They didn't have backpacks back then.
Just please tell me the first time you actually played with them, they were like super impressed and you just like were really good.
No. I tried to explain
underdog story?
Yeah. I think I tried to explain to Al that on, I don't know the whole numbers, but the long one at Shanahan.
14.
It was 14. I'm like, you just need to throw a DXT bird and you know, like you'll go and get your look or something like that. And I was talking to Al, so it was a bad idea.
You're done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Forever.
For a long time.
It's almost as embarrassing as my Lefty Al story. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now we have a little background on who you are and why you are the way you are.
You are the worst. I hate looking at your face. I want to smash it.
Let's get a little background on Jason. So the defining characteristic I'm going to start with is the fact that you don't carry a cell phone.
That's correct.
What do you carry in place of a cell phone?
So it's in front of me right now. It's a little green, I think they're like an army book that they're issued for the soldiers. And it's a very high quality, nice paper, holds ink well. And I use it to write down directions, people's names.
How many rounds he's played with someone?
Yeah, that's
so. Oh, so you have like an analog version of UDisc.
Do we each like have a page in that book?
No, I haven't gotten that far yet.
Okay. All right.
Do you have multiple notebooks? You must have to like.
And you keep them all?
Yeah, they're somewhere in a drawer. I mean, I don't really do anything with them after I've used the contents, but.
Sure.
But I could find stuff from.
Fantastic.
10 years ago if I needed to.
That's amazing.
What? 10 years of those tiny books?
Probably more than that, but yeah.
How long does one book last?
It kind of depends on how active I've been. Like, probably this will last me until the fall, because I'll be writing down my disc
golf my God. So, Patrick, you can leave. We're going to talk about this for the rest of the episode. Yeah. You have potentially hundreds of those?
I wouldn't say that many. Probably 20, 20, 30. It's not.
Oh,
it could be 20. It's probably 23 exactly, but right. It's in the 20s.
It's in the 20s. Yeah, yeah.
If you play around with Jason, he probably has your scores written down.
It's there's a good chance. If you ask me to, or want me to.
Yeah.
I need to get into that book.
Why do I feel the need to be in that book so hard?
Dear Diary.
And
FOMO.
One of my favorite things to do when I'm bored is I draw pictures of my wife, and I'm a terrible artist. I don't know if you guys can see those, but they're very, very bad.
Do you show her?
Yes, of course.
Oh, okay.
So, like
she's still married to you. Okay.
Yeah. I'll just go quiet on a train sometime, and she's like, are you drawing a picture of me again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's love.
I'm still not sure how the book is a substitution for a cell phone. Like, if you tell me in lieu of text messages, you pass paper notes around?
Well,
like
sometimes,
that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Like earlier in the podcast, I wanted to remind Patrick about his raffle. And so I wrote it on there and I passed it over to him. Like, don't forget to mention the raffle. So this stuff happens.
Did you fold it up like a student passing a note?
Jason, yeah.
I just kind of
fascinated.
Slid it. I just slid it over to him gingerly. Yeah.
Do you have a different level of respect for students passing notes than most teachers?
Yeah, I would much rather them pass a note than text each other, for sure.
Actually, that makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Encourage them to pass notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do something
physical. It's a lost art.
Yeah.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Folding it up a certain way.
Yeah, take a picture of your face.
Oh, and little footballs.
Yeah.
Seriously. Do something.
That would be so cool. Use your brain. Football flying across the room. I wouldn't even like think anything of it. Yeah. Cool.
Before we move on from this subject, I have a little story about passing notes in class. I forget the actual class, but doesn't matter. I was in
high
school.
The year is 1991.
2004, three or four.
Okay.
So close.
We were, I had started this little activity with a couple friends near me. We were drawing like really super inappropriate pictures of our teacher. And like the game was like, how inappropriate can you make the picture? And I won't describe what I had drawn this particular day, but you know, we're passing the pictures back and forth and cracking up. He sees it happening. Finally, he's very old. Finally, like, catches on and walks right up to me and goes, give me whatever you just passed. And I just looked at him and I just threw it in my mouth. I just, like, no way you're ever going to see that. And I was, like, debating, am I going to swallow? It was like a whole sheet of paper. I was like, am I going to swallow this thing or not? And he looked at me and he goes, you can either give me that, whatever's in your mouth, and maybe you'll get in trouble, or you swallow it and you're definitely getting attention. And I was like, okay, I'll roll the dice. So I like took it out of my mouth, unfolded it and gave it to him. And he was like, yeah, that's a detention. So he had submitted this. He took the picture and there's a photocopy of it made that was attached to the detention that they made my parents sign.
No.
So my dad
way.
Was like, he saw the picture and had to sign it. And he mostly laughed. He was like, that's pretty funny, but you obviously can't do that.
And see, nowadays it'd be all over social media. You'd be like celebrity for a few minutes.
Right.
Yeah. It could have been.
Great story.
That's my note passing story.
Great note passing story.
And then before we get to the real stuff, what started this? I'm not going to use a cell phone. Was there a really deliberate thing that I'm not going
to
do it? Or
I was just slow to get one. All my friends had one. And at that point, it became part of me that I was the guy that didn't have a cell phone. And I just kind of leaned into it and said, okay. No phone?
I envy the freedom of knowing seriously nobody can reach you.
Yeah.
I think it's cool, man. I dig it.
You don't get 1,000 notifications a day that distract you. You're just living your life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, when I'm playing disc golf, it's me in the forest and the discs and
okay.
And some dudes.
And a couple dudes.
I know about
disc golf. All right, so let's talk about your respective disc golf in schools situations. You said your students came up to you and they were like, we want to start a club.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the process from there at Manuka? What did you have to do to make that happen?
Yeah, so like Josh Pleasey was there in the process too. And I'm not sure which one they came to first. If it was me or Josh or both at the same time, because we were both disc golfers. We did disc golf together all the time. And our school is very good about starting clubs for students. They have what they call student initiated groups. And so the teachers involved in these don't really get a heavy salary at all. It's just a few bucks a month. But if the teacher's willing to do it, then you can run a club for basically whatever you want, as long as the school board approves the idea. And so for a long time, we were just a student-initiated group that just had a handful of kids who liked to play disc golf. And we would go out. The school is nice enough to let us use buses, which is awesome.
Wow.
We didn't have to pay for that. They just said, hey, you want to go to a course? Go for it. And that really helped us out a lot because then you don't need to have your own baskets. You can just always go to a course and play. And another thing we benefit from at Manuka is there's a 7-hole course at Summit Park, which is actually within walking distance of our central campus.
That's a big deal.
So for the first few weeks of every school year, we just walk. We meet at the school. We walk over there and we show them the basics of disc golf. You know, here's how you throw the disc lots of different ways. We do one week where we make up like artificial out of bounds to kind of practice some of those rules. And the kids just, they get hooked right away. Like one thing I want to tell people who might be listening, I know there's always the, it's too expensive.
That might be. We have 400 dedicated listeners. Okay. Take it easy with the might be listening.
No, continue, I'm sorry. I don't mean that. No,
Jason.
No, the might be refers to the people who might be thinking that, you know, they want to do it, but they can't do it. Like you get that a lot. Like there's all these different excuses out there for why they can't get a club together, or why they won't get a club together. And the thing is, guys, disc golf is super fun. Like, we all know that. That's why we're here. Mm-hmm. And it's as easy as just putting a disc in a kid's hand and letting them throw it at the chains and do that a couple times. And they are hooked. Like, it's the easiest thing for me to sell ever. Like, I bring one of my baskets out into the hallway, a stack of discs, and then that's how we get all our kids. Because they get to see how fun it is.
There sounds like there was zero red tape at all for you.
Mm-hmm.
What could have stopped this from actually happening? Like, what might have the school have been, had an issue with?
I guess if the school didn't have such a nice policy about forming clubs, then we could be in trouble because we wouldn't be able to be official like through the school. And I don't know if they would just allow a teacher to meet with the students after school to play disc golf. So I think that would be one thing you have to look out for, is if the school doesn't approve it. Another thing Minooka has going for it is our PE program actually had disc golf as one of its units.
That's a huge deal.
Yes. And so by doing that, the students had experience with disc golf. And so when they do see it in the hallway, they see me throwing my discs, they know what it is, and they're interested in it even more because, hey, I remember that. That was really fun when we played it in PE.
Yeah.
And so that helps a lot too. And one of the biggest boons for us is, and this is a little bit sad, they've actually gone away from disc golf now, but because of that, they've gifted us their baskets. So now our club has 9 baskets that we can use for whatever we want. Hmm. And that's enabled us to do an indoor putting league, kind of modeled off the prison putting league and the haunted house putting league. We go up staircases, down staircases, through doorways. It's a blast. Like, people see us and they go, what are you doing? And like, the teachers. And
yeah.
That's what you want, is more teachers
100%,
to get involved.
100%, yeah.
Maintenance ladies yell at you.
Yeah, they're not super happy about that sometimes.
Like scuffing up the gym floors or something?
We're doing it in the hallway, so it's the hallways.
They don't want it in the hallway.
But you know what? The cross-country team, they run all the time in the hallway, so we're not doing anything worse than they are. Sorry, Patrick.
Go outside. Yeah. You know, country, you know.
Yeah. Does the school support you in a way that insurance and everything extends to wherever you travel?
I think that's pretty standard. Like, they have $1 million umbrella policies at most schools where if a kid gets hurt, they're covered as long as it is sponsored. That's why he was saying it's important to get sponsored.
Got it. Okay.
Through school.
That would be my number one question, is like, you guys travel and then something happens, then that's great.
So this is pretty close to home for me, because we, you know, trying to promote disc golf in the city is a lot of like underprivileged areas where kids have literally never heard of disc golf, never seen a basket before. Where we want to try and get disc golf into schools, it starts with like, are any kids going to care? You might have staff who want to do it. And still, if no kids are interested, then where do you go from there? So what we're actually working with Noble Charter Schools, and we are the process we're gonna take is, before they break for the summer, we're gonna do a putting league style gym class like unit, just like a day, where all the kids are gonna try it out, and then afterwards see, did anybody have a good time with this? Is there interest in doing more of this? And if so, maybe it can become part of the PE curriculum. And from there, maybe there's a club or there's, you know, a program that gets developed. But first, it starts with, how do we even see if any kids know about this or would be interested? So you have a huge leg up that you guys already had it as part of the PE curriculum.
Yes.
Do you have any idea how it became part of the PE? Like, when did that start? What's the story there?
You know, I don't know the history of that, but that'd be something interesting to find out.
I actually know, for our school, we had it same. It's kind of like this similar story to Jason, how it started. But I know that our PE department did have a couple baskets and they had a couple discs, and it was part of recreation activities. So like, they do like a PE unit on like can jam and spike ball, and
cool.
Disc golf was in there. I don't know how much our PE department actually did with the disc golf, because if you don't have someone who knows what they're doing, can help organize it to keep it safe. Cause otherwise you just got kids throwing around discs.
Right.
Like, that's probably not a great idea when you have 3,500 students at a school. Like, not a great choice.
Well, not only that, but they're going to have a bad experience, and then they're never going to experiment with it later if it's not presented to them properly, right? That's huge.
Do you happen to, Patrick, did you say that you guys have it in your PE curriculum as
well? We had it in the PE curriculum. I know that I'm going to be helping out one of the PE teachers at West this year when they do it during my plan period of my lunch. But then one period he's not doing it. So they do it, like, it's coming up pretty fast.
So are either of you utilizing the Uplay like teaching curriculum? Like, they have a book specifically for teaching kids at schools.
No, I haven't heard that yet.
Definitely look that up. You can order them on their website, and I'm sure it'll make the PE teachers' lives a hell of a lot easier.
Nice. In the notebook.
He's writing it.
Jason's texting about it right now. Boy,
where'd that pen come from?
So it's going in the cloud right now.
Yeah. So while you do that.
What? It's actually, it looks like a notebook, but it's an e-notebook.
And it's like a tablet. Literally like,
yeah, it's like, yeah.
He's got something better than a cell phone, and we don't know it. We're just busting his balls. Yeah. But like, okay, so you guys make it sound like it's as easy as just ask if you want to get it started in your school. But then what's baffling to me is, like, in the mailbag, Wonderkin, Patrick, said, how do I get a disc golf club at my school? Is he literally, I can't imagine he didn't. Ask?
Well, don't these things have to be sponsored in the first place?
Like, usually they get, I got approached by students as well as Jason did. And when I was approached by students, then you have to have a sponsor. So I said I was willing to sponsor it. School approved it. We don't get paid as teachers. I don't get paid at my school for it. You have to have, I don't know what the number is. You have to have so many students for so many years before they'll pay you, before it becomes an official club. And then if your numbers dwindle, they'll pay anyway. But
I wonder if Uplay would help change the way that the schools are thinking of that, because then there's a curriculum and there's, I mean, how I get it that it's just a club and, oh, you guys go play disc golf and they're not learning much or whatever, but now they've got a curriculum where they're being tested. Like, is that going to change? I wonder if that's going to change things for what it looks like, you know?
To sell, for sure.
Right.
To the school.
Right.
And I can share that our club just became like officially recognized as a club where we get a stipend last year. It took us 7 years to get to that point.
Wow.
And just like Patrick said, you have to demonstrate that there's a consistent demand, that there's a lot of students coming every year and that it's a sustained interest. And so that was a big benchmark for us to get to that point. Mm. Now, if I could say something else about starting a club, that I just want to give a big shout out to a couple people real quick, Dana Vici and Kevin McCuba, because they were both instrumental in our club success. Kevin...
Coops.
Josh Pleasy reached out to him at one point and said, hey, you know, we're starting a club. We need discs. And he put together a big package for us. Just all these discs. Some of them were used. Some of them were brand new. And we're still, to this day, lending those out to kids, giving them to kids away as CTPs. Like, just a massive amount. And so for people who are, like, hesitant to start a club, reach out to the local community, local club. Like, you'd be amazed at how many guys are willing to just throw discs at you. Just say,
100%.
I've got 50 discs in my trunk that aren't being used. It's way easier than you think. Just reach out to that community. People want to help.
And people have way more discs than they know what to do with. And yes. They're like, wait, I can use it for a good cause?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You will be, I don't want to say you'll drown in donations from people, but like, yeah, when we started saying we're trying to get, you know, beginner-friendly discs for kids in the city to be able to use, I've got a whole hyzer rack in my house now full of discs that people have just been like, yep, please use these.
You lead to a perfect comment that was in the mailbag from Eric Vetter. He said, I don't know about anyone else, but if I showed up to Tags and someone asked me to donate discs for the local school, I would have a few for them. Most players I play with would, probably even a basket or two. Local pros would love to get their name out there with stuff like that, and they can post all over social media. So I think like that's another opportunity that definitely needs to be taken advantage of.
Great comment from Eric. Thanks for that comment, Eric.
And of course, there's another resource. I forget the name of it, but there's a shop in Lockport.
Somewhere. I don't know. We could probably figure something out.
I think they have disc golf discs, but...
Get you guys a couple minis or something.
Is it at the Canyons?
Not the name. No, you're close. It's called, dancing around.
It's like the crevices or something.
Yeah, that's it. The crevices. The crevices.
Oh, wow, man.
Yeah.
And real quick, if I could talk about Dana Vici.
So write that down in the book.
Ooh, ooh. Yeah.
Write that down in the book.
Yeah, please. The crevices.
We're going to need that later.
So Dana Vici was actually subbing at our school, and he happened to talk to Josh Pleasy during lunch one day, and they got onto the topic of disc golf, and he's like, yeah, I'm kind of a pro. And we didn't know who he was at this point because, you know, he's just a dude in our school.
You just thought he was like a trapeze artist.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn it. There it is. I was trying to get there, you dick.
And Dana's like, well, I want to help out with the club because he was living in Minooka at the time. And he had went through the whole process of, you know, getting the background check and getting certified at the school. And he actually would come out and coach our students for a little bit. And at that point, I didn't know anything about disc golf. So I didn't know who he was or his record or his history. It took a couple of YouTube searches to figure out, oh my gosh, this is awesome. Yeah. And unfortunately, he's since moved away over to Milkina, but he's still available to help out anytime.
Link away.
And so that the other thing I would say is just like you mentioned, Jason, reaching out to the community, you'll be amazed at who would step forward and say, hey, you know, let's give a little clinic. Let's even Paul Macbeth, right? Like he does that around the world.
Right.
Sorry, hit the microphone.
I've heard he does that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to think that the schools would light up at the opportunity to not just say, hey, here's a thing that we want to start doing. It's an activity I want to start, you know, introducing to the students, but I would like to bring in a professional player to do a demonstration or a clinic. There's some power in like how you can sell, like, and that's such an easy resource. You have to think of all the local pros that would be happy to you know, show up.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Like context though, a lot of people in Joliet know what disc golf is, but a lot of people think of it as something that you go to the woods and drink and smoke weed. Like not a lot of people. So like, kind of when I brought it up, that was a joke that was made. And like, oh, you're serious. I'm like, yeah, I'm serious about starting this. I want to go and do this. So like,
we're still
against the program
that,
with schools. Yeah.
We're still overcoming that identity, 100%. Yeah. But it takes guys like you, and it takes like the people who are dedicated, the movers and shakers, to raise the awareness and educate the people who have facilities and programming opportunities that there's more to it. It's not a snap of a finger. Like it's, how many years was your club? You said seven years
until we got recognized as an official club.
Wow.
Other than just a student initiated group.
Sure.
So speaking of programming opportunities, Amy Laskowski said in the mailbag that the educational disc golf experience is a great resource. What are you guys familiar with that? What is she referring
Jane
to?
Jane Des.
Yeah, Jane. Yeah, she mentions them. Jane Des reading, doing big things for kids in schools. What is that in reference to? What is she talking about? What is Edge?
I know that it exists. They, and they
when
do,
there's a star frame.
They do donations. I know Edge.
Yeah.
Like Ricky Waxaki, I applied for the Ricky Waxaki.
You watched that on your iPhone?
But then Between Edge classes, also does the same thing where they'll donate baskets and like resources. I know that they have like a scholarship or I don't know what to call it. A grant, right. I guess is what it would be.
Sheila?
I just looked it up and they offer packages to schools. So like at a big discount, you can get discs and baskets and whatever you need to get your club started. So just like you play.
Yeah, they've been doing it for quite some time.
Years and years.
Yeti? I think Yeti does that.
Yeah. And I know that a lot of times people point to like the cost of baskets as something that gets in the way of starting a club. But don't forget how disc golf started. Like target golf is the thing, right? Just pick a tree and throw to it.
Yeah.
You know, and if you do have one basket's enough. You just make different tee pads from different locations with different obstacles. Like we did that for the first few years before we had all the baskets. It doesn't take a whole lot.
A local vendor helped us out. Like I wrote a grant and then some local vendor hooked us up and made sure we got them at cost. So it was able to get a couple of baskets for us right away.
That's always like my pickle because I wanted,
over at the crevices.
At the crevices. Yeah, right. Okay. I want to do more with the schools, but I don't want to be that guy that is coming from the business standpoint of, you know, I'm trying to get the kids into the thing. Let's give them sugar. But like,
get you know,
like
first one's free.
How do I approach the school? Like, what do I need to do? Who do I need to speak to go, hey, I am that local vendor and I donate baskets everywhere.
You've got a big white van with no windows, so great start.
If it'll help, I could show up with you. I mean, I have a really
another
good presence.
If you reached out to an AD would love to say that they started this at their school. And I know it's a lot to ask on you, but if you send out an email to ADs, like they'll be the ones that will find someone and say...
Athletic director is what he
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, they'll be the ones that just send out and say, can someone sponsor this? I want to start this because they like starting things, especially since it's listed as an emerging sport, IHSA. Yeah.
In fact, Manuka is the only one on the website right now, Patrick. We got to get you on there.
What?
Whoa.
How does Jason know that and you don't?
I know on
a website.
I bet it's in his notebook.
Because he's the only one who applied. He applied online probably right before we got
Hillary
here.
Holden, our AD, did that. She does it on our behalf.
So the athletic director. That's who I need to speak with to go, hey, let me donate some baskets and some discs. You do the rest, right? Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
I know Lockport. We were trying to get Lockport because there was a kid who came to our event. It was just a singular kid that had friends that were coming and he came, but he couldn't get a sponsor for the program like at Lockport. So sometimes there is some struggles with that. Maybe the kid doesn't know what their teacher plays though. So that's
right.
That might be the issue too.
So we have a couple different members of Disc Golf Chicago who are either working on or already bringing disc golf to their school. Shout out to Ryan Aquino, who's working on it right now with his son's school. And his son is young, like his son Odin, which is like the best name for a kid ever. I think Odin's got to be like 8 maybe or so. So you
He's
have
like
to
Nora's age, I think, maybe 6 or 7.
It's got to be in that range. But it's so different to having high schoolers who already know what it is. I want to talk a little bit about what is it like if you're starting truly from scratch. Like you're the teacher at the school, you love the sport, now you want to try to bring it to your school. Where would you start if you were in a situation like that?
And I'm gonna tack on one more thing because in the mailbag, Rich Bintum, is that how you say his last name? Do you guys know him? No?
I don't know.
He commented, I think it's tough to get into school when we don't have the resources to buy our normal equipment, let alone a new subject like disc golf. Basic discs and cheap baskets are still expensive. Wish we could get a grant for this somehow. So, I mean, there's a point there. It might be a bit of a stretch to call them too expensive, but he's still making a point that I think we're headed in that direction in this conversation.
I think as the pros get more and more recognized as a brand, like Ricky Waxaki, he was giving out, when he first went to Dynamic, he was giving out baskets. Mm-hmm. Like he was giving out 9-hole courses, and you just had to write a grant. I don't know how many he gave out, but I know that there were schools. I applied for that one.
I know that Garrett Gerthy has a kids foundation. Obviously, I think a lot of these pros have, there's grants and resources. But honestly, I just cannot imagine that getting your hands on $100 Chainstar Light is difficult. Like I would say if anybody works at a school and is worried that they're not going to be able to get the funds to get a basket and or some discs, send me a DM. and I'll either reach into my own pocket or crowdsource it. And I'm sure anybody in the community would be like, here's $5 to get another basket at a school. It'd be so easy to raise like those little chunks of money just to get the school started.
Yeah. I have a hard time believing that the funding to get at least the startup material is the barrier. I would think that the school and the bureaucracy is the stopping point. That's a tough sell for me to tell me that we can't get equipment for the kids.
This is going to go in a slightly negative direction. We always make jokes at West that there's something in Manuka's water. Like we don't know what it is, but like you go to a track meet and like, you know, we got our like, you know, 37 kids like at our track meet and they show up with two buses and there's like, you know, like 142 people coming off the buses, like ready to run. And you're like running in a sea of orange because some schools like Manuka, they do a good job at getting people to get involved. Getting students to get involved in athletics. And then I think that continues on. Like, that's how I felt when we had disc golf competitions with each other is there's a sea of orange and then there's like seven of us. So I think some of it is getting students to buy in is definitely a challenge.
So you're making the students buy the equipment.
Not buy it. Got me.
Well, how dare you?
What do you think is the solution to getting students to buy in if they have,
I was going to share something we do. Every year we have a freshman, like incoming freshman night or activity fair where they have all the clubs who kind of demonstrate what we are. And students love free things and they love candy. So you set up a basket, you set up like a 15-foot putt. They make it, they get a piece of candy. And you'd be amazed at the conversion rate we have just from that little activity.
You know how much better a putter I would be if you offered me candy every time I made a putt? Right.
And then I brought something else to show you guys. You can't see it, of course, if you're listening, but this is called the Woboba Wingman. Have you guys ever seen one of these?
No.
It's a little floppy disk. You can fold it, put it in your pocket. So in the passing period, almost every single day, I'm throwing that to kids. So as they walk by me, I throw it to them. And if I forget to throw it to a kid, they'll like yell at me like, where's the pizza today? Because it's a pizza. That's the print that's on the disc.
It does look just like a tiny cheese pizza.
And so like I'll go sub for a classroom. They're like, hey, you're the pizza guy. And I'm like, yeah.
I'm also a teacher.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a real light, real floppy. It's like rubbery. And it's just a really easy way to get the kids to see that it's fun to throw a disc, you know?
Dude.
And like, I feel like that also lends itself toward getting kids interested. Like, there's no chains involved, right? It's just playing catch with this little disc.
Yeah.
And
sometimes
you hit them in the face and you feel bad about it, but you laugh. Yeah. And we actually played a game of guts today in my class with that.
Nice.
Yeah, it was fun.
Nice.
We're out in front of the school. So if you were driving by about 1:30 at Manuka and wondering why there are kids whipping discs at each other, it was a floppy rubber disc. They weren't getting hurt.
Jason, do you know what guts is?
I don't. I was hoping that you weren't going to make me sound like an asshole. Thank you, but no, it's guts.
It is my favorite game to play with a frisbee.
So I've never actually formally played it. I've only read about it and seen YouTube videos of it, but it's basically five guys standing opposite each other.
I'm listening.
And they are
love their
hurling.
Burgers,
how would you describe it? Like, what kind of disc is it?
It's an ultimate frisbee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you
it's
stand
smaller than an ultimate disc.
It's like a about, like a dog, yeah, like a dog 75%. Disc.
Oh, like a free
like 100 gram or something.
Yes, it's like a freestyle.
It's like Red Rover.
Yes,
with
Yes.
Yeah. Like dodgeball and Red Rover and a disc combined.
You're trying to throw the disc through the opposing line, and they can only use like one hand to try to catch it or to knock it up in the air. And the goal is to not let it hit the ground or get through your line.
So if you catch it, if you catch it, you get points. And so everyone's throwing it as hard as possible at the other side. And you're then trying to catch a very fast thrown disc. And so there's, you know, naturally a lot of like people get hit a lot, which is
definitely
a lot of fun.
Different angles. So you don't know which way it's going.
Right.
Like that's the whole thing is like you try to trip them up.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hammers and all sorts of various throws that are different than maybe what you would see in disc golf.
Use hammers?
Over your head. Not a hammer.
This game took a turn.
Yeah. I want to qualify my previous statement because I feel like I made it sound like, what are you doing if you can't figure out how to fund stuff? That's not what I meant. I didn't mean like it's not hard to do. I meant I'm surprised that that is the tripping point and not the bureaucracy of the school. I know it's difficult to fundraise. I get that.
I just
wanted to say that because in my head I was like, wow, I sound like a jagoff.
I followed you, but I'm sure there were some people who were like, hey.
Yeah, I get that. That's just not where I thought it would be hung up.
Right.
Yeah.
With fundraising too in schools, like a lot of times it's easy. It's amazing how generous local businesses are. Like they will freely hand out products, money, whatever you need.
Yeah, you just don't pay for it. You just walk out with whatever you want.
But they will do that. Like local businesses are awesome with that. But with a school, sometimes everyone does the same fundraisers. And like fundraising gets stale. As a teacher, fundraising gets stale. That's why we're doing the April 30th is because it's different. And my my athletic director is like, he thinks he's going to win. Like, my athletic director has never played disc golf. He's like, oh, I'm going to play. I'll win this. He's like, oh, we got trophy discs. Like, I'm going to win that trophy disc. I'm like, I don't think you understand. It's like a real sport. Yeah. People actually care and like, we'll try to win. And but like the staleness is kind of like, how many times can you buy popcorn?
Sure.
Yeah, totally.
Right.
I think that that's on the rise too. Like, golf tournaments for fundraisers, that's been happening for forever. There's no reason why we can't do more disc golf. And obviously you guys are doing it. You're doing it. There's the American Camp Association. I talked about this on a previous episode. They're doing their first ever disc golf fundraiser to send underprivileged kids to summer camp. That's actually an event that's happening in like less than 2 weeks. They use your exact reason. Like, we've never done it. This seems interesting. We're going
to
try it.
I'm also trying to sneak in a course possibility on my campus for the PE program, because if my athletic director plays and he's like, this is awesome, this is great. Like, permanent baskets, like when you can say, okay, we're going to take this group out to this field, we're going to take this group, and maybe they're not playing the hole that was designed, but so, there's a basket that's there that they don't set up, that they don't have to bring back in, that would make it more accessible too.
Just for them to see a disc golf basket.
Right.
Just so they know what that is, instead of, you know, 20 years old and they're like, what is this?
Totally.
How do they not know yet?
Do you remember the first time you played? I remember 120 foot flex shots with like a champion orc.
Right.
It's disc golf, but it's not what I know now and what I love, like manipulating and getting the flight. Like, it's doing what I want. And I think kids have to see that, like that, no, you can actually make it do different things. Like, the disc goes where you want it to. They have to see that rather than kind of like flailing, slipping out of your hand and hyzering out really early.
I'll tell you, one of the best things is when you teach the kids all the ways you can putt, how to turbo, how to forehand putt, how to do all the crazy chicken wing type stuff, because they get addicted to it and they want to do it nonstop. Mm-hmm. So if you do ever see high school students on the course throwing forehand putts and throwing all sorts of weird ways, you can blame me.
But my club had had
single-handedly responsible.
Yeah.
all
the weirdness you see on the course, it's me.
My club had a parent who was obsessed with turbo putting. So this kid brought turbo putting in, and for like a couple weeks, like all they wanted to do was turbo putt. And I'm like, Johnny McRae's the only person that can turbo putt. Like, this is, it's not a real thing, but it is a real thing.
The parents, though, that's one of the questions I had was, what is the relationship like with you guys with the students' parents? And is it, how do they feel about disc golf? Like, is there a large percentage that have an issue with it? What does that look like?
I wish I had a number for you, but a lot of them have parents who play or have played. And that's one of the reasons the students are in the club in the first place, is their parents are supporting it. But I've also had plenty of students who the student just chose to play it and the parents have no idea what it is. And they talk to me at the end of a practice, like, this seems fun. And I'm like, come on out and play with us. We've had parents join us for rounds before. I remember one time we had a parent join us on a wet day at Highland Park. And if you guys have ever had a wet day at Highland Park.
Oh, yeah. We just had one.
We just did.
Yeah. you're sliding all over the place. And like, I'm thinking, oh, great. Someone's going to get hurt. And this is going to be the end of the club. But they still had a blast, even in all the mud and all the wetness.
I'm curious about how far away are we from having it as like wrestling, baseball, where schools are competing against other schools? What is the gap between where we're at and where we want to be? What does that look like?
I think it's surprisingly close, because of, if you look at a lot of players, there are more young players now. Like, with COVID, one thing that happened was a lot of people got outside and they brought their kids.
Yep.
Like, it was a walk in the park. And I think that that is definitely showing up now. More people know what it is when I talk to them. Like, they know what disc golf is, or they know somebody who plays. So like, I think it will become a high school sport fairly quickly, where we're doing, you know, interscholastic competitions. Like, it's going to happen fast.
Yeah. IHSA has a website that says emerging sports, and they have a list of all these really cool sports that you can play. And they have a list of the schools underneath it that currently have a program for it. And like I said, right now, disc golf only has one. So if you're listening
to this. In the state of Illinois?
Yes. And if you're listening to this and you have a program, make sure you get on that website, because the more schools we can get into that list, the closer we are.
Right.
The closer we are to making that a reality. Because we would, can you imagine lettering in disc golf?
Right.
Like, that's the dream.
See, the next step for me, like, the high school that I went to, we didn't have football as part of our program. There was football, but it wasn't directly associated with the high school, right? It was like an extracurricular.
Where did you go to school? Like, what state?
In Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Because soccer was big in our high school, so it wasn't football. But I remember playing that, and you would play against other high schools, but it wasn't real, like, it wasn't a high school sport. So I wonder what that structure was like and how that was governed as far as a, like, a league, And that's what I think in my head, like maybe not directly high school to high school related, but like extracurricular, but associated with the high schools because that's what you call the team or, you know, whatever. So that's kind of like the middle ground. And I can see that forming much easier than like high schools putting together an entire program for it.
I mean, mm-hmm. colleges have disc golf. I mean, like they just got done with it.
They just did it last weekend. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I mean, I've played in tournaments with people that were at ISU or U of I, like that they were on the disc golf team. One of the kids had a scholarship, like he got money for it. Now, whether it was big scholarship or not,
sure.
If that happens, that's another avenue where people are like, oh, I should start playing. And if we kind of adopted a format, they got a weird format. Like they have like the two doubles teams that make up one doubles team, like you alternate shot. Like it was confusing, then, but
huge singles thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As much as guys don't like this, I think I'd probably want to model it after ball golf in terms of what they do for high school.
That's like, what
golf?
I was going to suggest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Golf. Golf. Yeah. Yeah. Golf. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to shout out one of our members, Mike Stahera. He teaches up in, I think it's the Albany Park area in Chicago. He started a disc golf club, and he started to really get kids interested by using another program, basically. So he was coaching the robotics team, and whenever there was big robotics meets, he would bring a basket and just set it up so that while people are spectating or in between matches, there's somebody putting on a basket like off to the side, and then constantly people are like, what is that?
Yes.
And just encouraging, putting it in people's hands as they come through the event. And from there, now he's got a disc golf club that's got a fairly little, active membership. I don't really know how many members they have, but now it's been going on a couple of years. And I love the idea that you're piggybacking on other events where you've got kids who want to be active, who are engaged with things, and you just get it in front of their eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally. That's great to hear. And to that I say, domo arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Hey.
And disc golf has another advantage.
He waited like 20 full minutes for
that. Jason just moves past it. He's like, okay.
You guys know the classic noise that it makes when you hit the chains, right?
Right.
And people are like, what is that?
No, I'm not familiar.
Yeah,
what is that noise? Like, they all want to know where that's coming from. And then they're like, oh, that's something I can do.
I was going to ask you, I feel really weird when I pull out the baskets like right after school and there's like, it's clanking all over and like, I feel awkward. Like,
nah,
I can't handle loud noises.
Embrace
in a small indoor space. Like, it's not supposed to be like
Patrick, you and I couldn't be more opposite. I would be shaking and trying to get everybody's attention.
Yeah.
This thing makes noise when I move it.
I mean, I put towels around like the pole and stuff like that to make sure that it doesn't make too much noise.
Oh, blasphemy.
Yeah,
I know it sounds weird then, but
counterproductive. But I'm thinking about like football games, baseball games. You're gonna have a huge audience. Mm-hmm. Just show up, put a basket out there and you're gonna steal some people's attention. Mm-hmm.
The players, as we have a little kid throw the disc into the field.
Yeah, exactly.
Ricky did something at a football game this season.
Yeah, he threw it from one end to through the uprights of the other side. Yeah.
Nice.
You know, and then he did that. I don't know how many it took, but you only see the one shot and he splits them and then he high steps and raptor legs around along the stands and like throws discs out into the crowd.
That's it's cool. The old timers did that too. That was like the old timers used to go to baseball games and like when I say old timers, like the Dave Dunapace and all them, they used to have like the multiple sports. It was like at like halftime shows.
Mm.
Like I know I saw old YouTubes of that.
Yeah. Freestyle.
Very cool. Yeah. But they had disc golf on there too. Like they had like distance competitions and
I just wanted to throw Disc Golf Chicago out as a resource to anybody that's considering starting. We're not experts, but we are very like engaged and passionate about this. So we will give whatever resources we can, whatever guidance, consulting. Another member, Ryan Braun, is just starting a club at his school. You know, even from the basic things of like, hey, we want a logo for our club. Literally whatever kind of resource you might need help with as a teacher or somebody who's trying to bring disc golf to schools, drop us a line. We'll do whatever we can for you. Please don't be shy. And I'm sure the same is true for Delwood. And
totally.
Yeah,
you're getting a message from me. For a logo,
I'd love to see the results of the flex and see if we can get some permanent baskets installed at the school. That'd be great, man. I would be happy to donate.
You were talking about the logo.
I'll come up with
in my academy. Right, they do like kind of like the Callahander rundown, like where you talk about your club, and they made it make disc golf great again. And they had like a Donald Trump like this.
Oh boy,
that was our logo. I'm like, you gotta get rid of that.
Yeah. Divisive.
It's too political.
Grow the sport.
Too political.
Hey, to be fair, the people who liked it would really like it.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
The other half of people would be like, come on.
It was not flattering caricature, though.
I'm okay with that. Is there anything else that you guys, I feel like we got to get the destination penetration here pretty soon, but is there anything else that you guys feel like has been unsaid at this point?
Check the notebook.
Yeah.
Jason.
Yeah, I mean, just, I don't know if I thanked Sean and Sheila and everyone else in the J-Town community just for the opportunities to come play in the haunted house, you know, or to, like Patrick and I's club, our very first event was in the prison. We did a part. Yeah, yep. It was like a part two event where the kids got to tee
that
off
was so much
and then
fun.
Finish the putt. We made an announcement the next day at school, said last night, 25 students from Manuka Community High School went to jail. And then I said, pause. And played disc golf. And it was an awesome announcement. All the teachers came up to me like, that was a great announcement. You know?
Dude.
I can't believe you guys got to play in a prison. They thought it was the coolest thing.
Mm, yeah.
Just fantastic. Like we did.
So you did make the notebook. You just didn't know it yet.
Nice. I want a score in there, though.
I am just big, big fans of what you guys are doing. Kudos, major kudos. And I hope listeners are, you know, anyone who's any kind of affiliation to a school is getting some gas in their tank from this. Mm-hmm. Because the more kids that start playing, that's going to increase the need for more facilities, more events. Like it all starts with the kids, and it's not going to come from anybody but the passionate players in this community. Well, and every disc golf community, but think about the ripple effect of what can happen if you just ask the question, can we bring a club here?
And if you're a high school coach, reach out to us and we'd love to set something up. A scrimmage, a little match against each other, even if it's just for fun, we'll meet somewhere in the middle and we'll have some fun with it.
Can we do that soon? The two of you guys, schools?
Dude, oh, dude.
Like when would be the next time that we could do that set it
for
up
for us? It'd probably be August.
I'm coaching, yeah. We'd have to do fall
time.
Well, mm-hmm.
Let's please
fall's hard, man.
Please, well, let's set
winter,
it up.
We'll
figure
it
out.
We'll figure something out.
We will do it.
Figure it out.
A grudge day,
yeah.
Okay, well, we've got more stuff to cover, but that was just awesome stuff, guys. It's time now for Destination Penetration round two.
Boom.
Oh, yeah. Jason, give us the rundown on what happened last round.
So last time we visited, we took the Western Division down to its final four.
Ooh, go back further. What is Destination Penetration?
All right, so we started Destination Penetration with 16 of the top free courses as shown on the UDisc app. We kind of broke those into a Western and Eastern Division, and we're just having a quick conversation about the course itself and maybe some stuff to do locally. Quit looking at my sheet,
Patrick.
we're just discussing things. Eyes on your own paper, sir. We're discussing some benefits of the course, how it's played, its pros and cons, and then pros and cons of the community itself. And then you guys are deciding of the two we put it against, mm-hmm. which one you would choose to go to. Last time we played, we saw the Western Division go down to its final four. So that is going to put Crockhole up against the Diavolo. Mm-hmm. And it's going to put Wildcat Bluff up against Puyo.
Puyo Kyokyo.
Kyopio. But that's what happened last time. Today, we're going to start the Eastern Division. So we have...
And go ahead. The stakes on what happens when we get to
the
end.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When we take this down to its ultimate winning course, we are going to decide to go there. Maybe do an episode while we're there. That'd be fun.
Sure.
A remote episode.
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll figure that out.
We're going to go play one of these destinations.
But we're going to go play it regardless.
Puyo Kyopio.
Puyo Kyopio. So on the Eastern Division, we have eight courses that we've paired up into four matchings. I think we'll just start with the first one. I don't have to list
that's
them all
where
right
you
now.
Usually start?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I'll go start ahead. With the first one.
Okay. Go ahead, Jason. Whenever you're ready. I've been waiting for this for 3 weeks.
Matchup.
Ooh, set we'll the stage see. A little bit also. Sheila has set the TV up with course maps of all the courses we're going to be talking about. There's photos from all the courses. We're also going to get some insights on like the local things to do. So the deucing never stops.
Our first matchup is going to see Kipasuo Pro Disc Golf Course in Heinola, Finland.
Wow, great job.
Thank you. Population of Heinola is 18,349. There are 18 holes, turf tees with multiple layouts available.
I like those paths. Those are cool.
It is part of a multi-course complex called Heinola Disc Golf Park.
Is that
ever
a
heard
park
of it?
World. That's a racetrack?
Disc Golf Park World. Holy cow.
Kipusoa Pro DGP is the best and most difficult course of all the High Nola Disc Golf Park. It's a 16-hour flight to Helsinki, one of the coldest cities in the world.
Ooh, strike one.
And is only a 1 hour and 42-minute drive to High Nola from there. It is home of Prodigy Disc Pro Tour on September 8th through the 10th of 2023. And other things to do in that area is you can visit one of 3 million different saunas in the country.
Mm. What?
Ooh, take that strike away.
There's 3 million saunas in the country.
That's what my sheet says. Or you can go boating in a harbor. Did you know that Helsinki is home to the band M? Interesting information there for you.
Hmm.
So that is Kipusoa.
Yeah, the photos look almost on par with Krokhol.
Yes, big time.
In Norway, these look phenomenal.
I want to go there.
In the summertime.
In the summertime, yeah.
For sure.
In the summertime. I didn't say earlier, but that was a second seeded course. And we have put it up against 15 seeded Neatman Creek in Germantown, North Carolina. Germantown has a population.
Germantown. Germantown.
This says town.
That's wrong.
Germantown.
Germantown, North Carolina. As of.
Germantown. It's called Germantown.
As of 2010, Germantown has a population of only 827 people.
Wow.
But that was 13 years ago, so maybe they're up to 828 by now.
Danger.
Dude, look at that hole nine.
It has 18 holes, Prodigy, T1 targets, and turf tees. It is an 11.5-hour drive from here to get to Germantown. It has one smart layout. You must pre-register in order to receive the address. That's pretty interesting.
Cool. Whoa.
Private. Donations accepted. There is a pro shop on site.
What do we know about that?
A little competition. Other things to do is you can visit the Pro Shots shooting range or take a quick drive to Winston-Salem and visit the Reynolda House Museum of American Art and the Hanging Rock State Park. Did you know that Winston-Salem is known for its tobacco and cigarette industry, and the city is fondly nicknamed the Camel City, the world's most famous cigarette brand that started there in 1875.
Hmm. I'm sold.
So you guys have all the information. Let's discuss. Alex, lead us off.
I hate to say it's a no-brainer, but I wasn't even close. Once I saw Neatman Creek, the photos, there seems to be a lot of water, which I like. It's obviously really pretty. Mm-hmm. I like that I could drive there. It's not going to cost me nearly as much. I like the whole tobacco piece. That's neat. Yeah. And I like that you have to pre-register. That's cool.
Yeah.
I have a question, though. If they have a pro shop, can you go into the pro shop without pre-registering? Why would you have to do that?
To find the location, to get the address, right?
I know, but why would you have to do hey, we're selling stuff, like, but you can't go there unless you ask.
It is a little speakeasy. Yeah. Oh, easy.
That's weird.
It almost sounds like Trinity.
Zing! Get him, Jay.
I'm going Neatman Creek for sure.
Noted.
Okay, right.
So I said that Kipusoa Pro was almost on par with Krokhol, and it's because it was ranked number 2 behind the number Krokhol's one. Yeah,
number one, yes.
And it does look phenomenal, but I don't want to say I don't want to go to Finland, but when I can go to North Carolina and hit this course and then go to like Diavolo and hit, you know, like some of the best disc golf in the country in North Carolina,
Kipusoa is a complex, though. How many courses there?
Oh, that is information that I had earlier.
A whole world's worth of them.
It is.
Yeah, right. It's a disc golf world.
Disc golf park world.
This isn't Super Mario Brothers Land.
But it's a complex. Yeah. There are multiple courses. So when you go to this one course,
they have worlds in Super Mario.
Many courses.
Yeah.
No.
That's what I'm saying. It's SNES, not NES.
Right. I think I'd have to go to Neatman Creek. I think there's just something about North Carolina courses that just draw me in.
Same. Yeah.
And I've never been there. I don't know why, but like I need to want to go there.
Yeah.
One thing I should note for you guys who are playing for the first time is you can make this decision based on whatever you want.
It's based on nothing.
Yeah. Whatever you would choose for whatever reason you want to choose it.
The saunas are a big draw, by the way. So
for sure.
You left out the North Carolina barbecue.
Oh,
I do love me some vinegar-based barbecue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little reinforces. Dollop of coleslaw on top of that.
Yeah, who? Coleslaw, ooh, Shawnee?
All right. I guess we're going to Germantown, North Carolina, because that is also my pick. You guys talked me into it. It does look amazing. We definitely have some really cool-looking holes at this course that, like Alex said, have a lot of water. I can drive to it.
I'm surprised it's ranked 15 out of the 16.
Yeah.
Because it looks pretty amazing.
It's pretty, it kind of looks canyon-ish, like hole 9.
I was going to say that.
Hole 8, actually say loop 9. I'm seeing a couple of Valpo-y-looking holes.
Sure.
Not the water, but that one that was kind of downhill there with the cove.
Mm-hmm.
The hole 9 is hole 9 there. Just, it looks except for those prodigy baskets, though.
Yeah. It would be, plus, I mean, how cool would it be to, like, get a tee time and, like, that's a little adventure there. That's totally an adventure. So that's
we can hook up with Ian Yelton while we're out there.
Right.
Ooh.
I'm with the boys on this one.
So Neatman's taking it, but Patrick, Jay, do you guys want to weigh in on, is there room for discussion on the other place?
It shouldn't change your decision. I just, for me personally, I don't like when a course is private or you have to jump through hoops to play it. Like, to me, that sets a barrier up to entry that we don't necessarily want or need. Now, it doesn't take away from the fact the course looks awesome, right?
Yeah.
It looks like
I agree. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm perplexed by that, and I don't know if it's just a call that says, hey, where are you? Or if it's like a vetting process.
Yeah.
Because if it's vetting, then I agree with you.
I would like to go to Finland just to see their life. Like the disc golf scene there. Like, because everyone says it's huge. European Open, it looks huge. Like, I'd like to see, like, be the cool kid because I play disc golf. Like,
yeah.
I'd like to see if it's really like that.
I had a thought, but I lost it. But nonetheless, that means that Neatman is moving on for that bracket.
Wow.
Neat man.
Without seeing them, I would not have thought that was going to go that way.
Did Crockhole beat Northwood? I got to update.
Oh yeah,
it did. Yeah. So that means our next matchup is going to see 10th seeded Lakeview Disc Golf Course at Moraine State Park in West Liberty, Pennsylvania. West Liberty has a population as of 2021 of only 328 people. It is 18 holes, Mach X targets, concrete tees, 3 smart layouts. It is a 7-ish hour drive from Delwood. Sublime mix of mostly wooded but grassy fairways and elevated tees and baskets.
That looks kind of like
Standing Rocks.
It's very Blair Witch Ross.
Yeah. No, I was going to say some of those holes look like the Flight Center.
Lemon Lake.
Thank you.
Flight Pad.
Yeah, weird.
I can see the poison ivy in the picture, actually.
Right, yeah, I can feel it.
Other things to do in West Liberty is relax at Lake Arthur, or you're not that far away from Pittsburgh.
It was Clay, right, who does the big disc golf trip to the Pennsylvania area?
Yeah, to the Pittsburgh area. He plays, what was that course?
Something with a beaver in it, no?
Iron Buck Beaver.
That's
iron
it.
Oh, there's iron something.
The Iron Beaver Buck. Yep. I knew it.
Nailed it. The bib for
got
sure.
Got it.
All right. And we paired Lakeview up with 7th-seeded Idlewild in Burlington, Kentucky. Ooh. Burlington has a population of 18,000 people. There are 24 holes, disc catcher, pro target, concrete, and turf tees. They have 7 smart layouts. It's only a 5-hour drive from Delwood. Idlewild is a pro-level course that will challenge any golfer on one of the toughest courses in the world. Disc golf pro tour course since 2017. Other things to do in Burlington, Kentucky. You can travel 30 minutes southwest to Rabbit Hash, where a dog was elected mayor in 1998 and in 2004. Or travel to 30...
It happened twice.
Or travel 30 northeast to Cincinnati and visit the Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden, or take a tour of the hidden brewery caverns complete with beer tasting.
I don't want to lead us off on this one.
You're not going to. Ryan, you are going to lead us off on this one. So we got Lakeview versus Idlewild.
Mayor dog, final answer. Lakeview looked fantastic, better than I would have expected for a 10th ranked course on this list. But I've seen Idlewild so many times on coverage. Mm-hmm. And if I don't go to there at some point, mm-hmm. I'm going to lose it. So sure. We got to go Idlewild.
I want to go there.
It looks so hard for all the right reasons. It looks Northwood Black difficult for some holes that just look so inviting to get so frustrated and then finish that course sure. and feel so accomplished.
I mean, that's like the Goldilocks zone right there, right? It's like it's yeah. difficult, but also yeah. you want that. That's what
I mean. And yeah. we just played yes. Northwood Black last weekend. It beat the shit out of us again. And I loved every second of it.
Yeah.
Like, it was great. So fun and so hard.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think Idlewild would be in that zone as well. So excellent. That's what I got to do. And Dog for Mayor.
Yes. Dog for Mayor. Yeah. Absolutely.
When you watch something on YouTube, like the coverage, the Pro Tour coverage, like some courses are just boring, right? You're just like, okay, I'm watching because I want to see who wins, but I'm not really enjoying it. When you watch Idlewild, it's like, this is awesome. You just can't wait yeah. for the next yeah. hole to see what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
And you're not even playing at that point. You're just watching yeah. other people play it. So, I mean, that yeah. speaks a lot about the course.
Yeah. Right on. Totally.
Wait, there are very few on coverage that I see and like, oh, I know hole 12. At Idlewild, you know, like I've never been there, but I know that course yeah. in my head.
Sure.
So yeah,
this was always going to be my pick. I will be riding shotgun with Ryan as he drives us to
the Mayor Dog,
Kentucky. Idlewild for the win.
We don't know yet.
That's two votes for Idlewild, but it's moving to Patrick here. Is there some discussion about Lakeview, or are you going 3-for-3 on Idlewild?
Idlewild's on my very short list. It's like mm-hmm. Maple Hill, Idlewild. That's the Summit short Park. List. Oh, no. Oh, London New Tech. How did that get beat? I'm going to go back and listen to the last episode so I can hear
like
that.
Like you should have done?
Like you should have done.
I started.
Burn.
It's two episodes ago.
Yeah. Two episodes. Okay.
Yeah. Consensus was that it was too new. But okay, go ahead.
But Idlewild.
So I think there's always a danger of...
Wait, is it in your notebook? Do you want to read from it?
No, I didn't write anything for this
okay,
one.
Okay, okay.
But there's a danger of gravitating toward what you know over what you don't know. And so I think there's a risk here with this one because we do know Idlewild pretty well.
Whereas
we don't know the one
point.
From Pennsylvania. But I don't know how you would ever really make the decision unless we sat down for hours and watched coverage of events from mm-hmm. the Pennsylvania course. Now, what I will say is the fact that I haven't seen something from that Pennsylvania course kind of tells me that maybe it's not as special as Idlewild, right? Maybe. So though there is that danger of bias there, I think I'd still go Idlewild myself.
Cool.
Is it going to be a clean sweep over there?
Formalities.
Yeah.
There was, Idlewild, no question.
I don't have any great explanation, but I just felt gravitated to Idlewild right out of the gate. And there was no point where I thought, oh, maybe Lakeview. That never came into my brain.
10.5 or number of discs lost there.
That means Idlewild moves on. We're going to see it go up against Neatman here very shortly. But it is time to talk about our next round, which sees third-seeded Failor Lake Disc Golf Course in Beaver Springs, Pennsylvania. Insert Beaver joke here.
Wait a second, man.
Population of only 800 people in Beaver Springs. They have 18 holes, wow, turf tees, currently no tee signs or restrooms. Keep that in mind.
What? Mm.
It is a 10.5-hour drive from Delwood. Major elevation changes with over 100 feet of elevation drop. Home to two B-tiers, the Failor Lake Open and Failor Lake Fall Classic. Other things to do in Beaver Springs, catch a drag race at the Beaver Springs Dragway, day drink at a vineyard, or visit the Cats of the World Roadside Zoo. Interesting.
Oh, I can't wait till it gets to
Are they going to have, like,
so
tigers?
Very cool looking.
And we have put Failor Lake up against 14th-seeded Stafford Woods in Voorhees Township, New Jersey. That area has a population of 30,000. You'll see 18 holes, Disc Catcher Pro, and Chainstar. Brick Pavers, it's a 13-hour drive from here to get there. It is a wooded course, four smart layouts, home of the Stafford Open, which was a DGPT Silver Series in 2021. Other things to do in the area is Gravity Vault Climbing Center, drive to Philadelphia to tour the Eastern State Penitentiary, America's most historic prison, or take a ghost tour. Yep. So that's all the information for Failor Lake and Stafford Woods. Sean, you are leading us off.
Stafford Woods. It looks a little bit more established. There's plenty more to do. I'm just based on the photos alone. I'm into this. I want to check this out. Stafford Woods, final answer.
Yeah, it does.
It's got some Trindo vibes.
Yep.
That means Patrick, moving on to you. What do you feel about that matchup?
I'm probably going with what I've seen before, because I've seen the Stafford Open, and that does look like a really, really fun course. The pavers get me a little bit, though.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan, but there's enough pros for that comp.
Oh my God, they have a hanging basket like Trinity does.
Yeah.
I think I would go with Stafford, though.
Yeah. Stafford well. Woods, final answer?
Yes.
Fantastic. Jay, moves on to you. What are we thinking?
So you lost me at no tee pads. I mean, like, they're probably like, oh, U-disc it, right? Just find out the layout there. You don't have a phone. You can't U-disc. So what am I going to do? Just throw it random trees? I'm sure you probably find a local, right? And they guide you through. I'm confused by how it even made it on, like, that high in the list in the first place. Right. It must be exceptional.
It must be really good.
Yeah.
Right. It must be a temporary thing. Like, you couldn't just say, oh, no tee pads.
No tee signs.
Or no tee signs. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, no tee signs, yeah.
I mean, Delhi didn't even have a parking lot when it first opened up.
If it's new.
You know?
Yeah, that's a new.
Okay.
Yeah, but how do you pick a brand new course like that over something established and excellent?
Yeah. Right.
Sure.
Right,
yeah. So it's Stafford for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, sorry.
Stafford takes it, but Alex and Ryan, you guys want to weigh in on this matchup?
Damn it. I was really hoping for Beaver Springs.
Oh, I got stories. You can pick Beaver Springs.
I like the blue baskets. That's it.
All right.
That's one of the courses that Clay recommended, right?
No.
Didn't he said he saw the Oscar Mayer Wiener in Beaver Springs?
No, I think they were closer to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I was like,
well, that was the joke that he made. It was some beaver name related town.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them out there, though.
It wasn't Beaver Springs, and I know that because out of college, I worked at a recording studio that was in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania, and that town was called Beaver Springs, and I worked within walking distance from where this course is now. Obviously, it wasn't there in 2001,
sure,
but it is there now, and I know the town. I've raced at that racetrack. Everything about that town is ingrained in my mind as still, like, in 2001, they were still in the 60s.
Oh, my God.
It brings up the story that Sean laughs at all the time. The guy that owned the recording studio that I engineered at took me out to lunch one day, and we sat down at a restaurant, and the waitress came over to us and asked us what we would like to drink, right? Which is a standard first, hi, I'll be your server. What do you want to drink? But instead of saying, what would you like to drink? She said, what for drinks do you want a while?
What?
What for drinks do
yins want a while?
Oh my
And I
God.
Will forever, I can remember where I was sitting. I can remember what direction I was facing, what she looked like. Every single part of that moment is just locked in my mind forever.
That is fantastic.
So that is, but I know what kind of a tiny little podunk town that is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I have such fond memories of that place and all the people there that I have to pick this course, even though it doesn't matter.
Sure.
But that it's just so funny to me that I didn't even know what disc golf was at that point, barely.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a course that would be within walking distance of where I used to work. It's just mind blowing to me.
Yeah.
So
that's wild.
Anyway.
What for drinks
do you want a while?
It doesn't scare anyone that Stafford is in Voorhees Township.
Oh, also, it's in New Jersey. So
come on.
New Jersey.
I was watching Movies That Made Us today, and I watched the episode about Friday the 13th.
Nice.
Yeah, yes, it is. Look at it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. My God. Yeah. You can see blood in the bottom right-hand corner. Is what I'm looking at there?
Uh-huh.
We have one battle left in the Eastern Division. And
the
first
crevices
one on here is the crevices at Delwood Park in Lockport, Illinois. Lockport has a population of 25,000 people. There are 27 holes of the canyons.
Hey, JK.
They use Mach X targets, concrete tees, 17 smart layouts. It is a 0-minute drive to get to Delwood. There are 27 different holes throughout a historical scenic park. Infinite options with blue, white, and red tees on most holes. There are permanent A and B pin locations on a majority of the holes, giving you endless ways to enjoy this beautiful course. Other things you can do in Lockport is play dominoes in the shed at Trinity. Or you can visit downtown Lockport where there's great food and good beer to drink.
Wow. Is that it? Please tell me there's got to be more. There's no mention of JJ.
No, not on my sheet. If you want to talk about him, you can.
No mention of the world famous Unstable Discourse podcast.
Right. That grew from the earth right there at Delwood.
Yes.
But this final matchup sees the Canyon go up against Cannon Ridge, sixth seeded.
The Cannon and the Crevice.
The Cannon and the Crevice is the name of this matchup.
Oh, the Cannon versus...
Located in Fredericksburg, Virginia. It has a population of 29,000 people. 18 holes, disc catcher targets, concrete tees. It is a 12-hour drive from Delwood. Has limited access. You must call or text first. It's another one of those. The first 11 holes are hilly, wooded, and technical, but the last 7 holes are flat and mostly open. Other things to do in the area is take the battlefield tour, where the Civil War roared to its bloody climax. Blast dismiss! Yep.
Yeah.
Let's give that a moment to sink in. Or you can take a tour at A. Smith Bauman Distillery, home of the world's best bourbon. So let's see, that means Patrick, you were gonna start off on this one.
I'm feeling Deli? I'm feeling a lot of pressure from Cannon Sean's Ridge. Eyes
yeah
yeah put the pressure on him.
He's leaning back hard.
The Canyons is
I got two words for you: bloody climax. Yeah. Keep that in mind when you decide.
Is that the fourth
yeah
okay, anyway,
the Canyons has a special place in my heart for sure. It's always nice to see. Everyone's always happy there, but I've never seen Cannon Ridge. I'm going to go with...
You would, you nerd.
I wonder how many sixums are on each of the tee pads in the summer. I'm going to go with Cannon Ridge.
Nice.
Got him.
Your popularity hurts you, Sean.
Got him.
I like that.
All right, for me, you can't compare these two courses. One's private course and one's publicly playable. Like the crowds you mentioned, Patrick, are only there because it's so accessible. And that's a really good aspect that we have here at the Canyons. And like you can say this course is awesome. There's no trash. It's beautiful, but it's private. And so you're not having just random people walking through with their dogs and leaving trash everywhere. Like that's something that Candace has to deal with, and yet still overcomes that. And it's still called beautiful by lots of people. And everyone always comments on how clean the course is, how well kept it is. And it's a public course that gets played nonstop by groups of six everywhere. And to me, you can't compare these two courses. It's the Canyons all day for me. Our Canyons. Our crevices.
All right. Our crevices. Alex, we currently have a tie. Want to break it?
Alex.
I always feel like
Sean is low-key threatened everybody. Low-key threatening looks at everybody who's answered so far.
He gave me supportive looks. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's because you picked right.
Yeah.
You have chosen wisely.
Wisely.
Don't call me Junior. Look what you did.
There's nothing but positive things to say about the Canyons. Some of my favorite rounds of disc golf I've ever played were there. The Pro Shop. It's maybe the coolest destination course for a couple different reasons. But if I'm picking where I'm going to go on vacation, I'm going to go somewhere different.
Right.
Cannon Ridge looks incredible. And I like a nice quieter round with less. Of course, what you guys have achieved at the Canyons, despite all the challenges of the public, it's incredible. But hey, if I'm talking about a vacation, I would love a nice, easy, calmer, quieter round. I'm going Cannon Ridge. I can't speak for anybody else, but going Cannon Ridge.
Dagger in my heart.
Cannon Ridge it is. All right.
Well, shit.
Ryan.
I know what Sean's going to pick, so I'm the tiebreak.
Yeah. What a situation we found ourselves in here.
No, it's pretty obvious for me. Jason said the same thing about the whatever course that was earlier that you had to call ahead, or you know, the private course idea is uncomfortable for me still. Like, especially since you brought that up. He's right. We kind of had to do that at Flip City almost. Like, we knew where it was, but it was kind of a weird... It immediately takes like a point off the scale, like before you even get there. And so it does look beautiful. And Virginia is very close to all the North Carolina courses that we would love to go to. But no, I've spent too much time on the home field. I'd have to pick the crevices for sure.
Excellent.
Yeah.
This is an interesting turn of events because there is currently a tie, Sean.
Okay.
Two people chose the Canyons and two people chose the Cannons.
I will say one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have been at that place for 6 days a week for the last 7-8 years, and I am never sick of it. I'm never sick of the vibes. I'm never sick of the stories, the people, the conversations at the counter. The bad beats, the good beats, the aces, the bogeys. Home, baby. Right down the street. Canyons.
Boom.
It is 0 miles from
Delhi. It is 0 miles from Delhi. So that means that our final bracket sees the canyons move on. So that means the next time we tackle this in the Eastern Division, we are going to see, 15th seeded Neatman go up against 7th seeded Idlewild. And we are going to see 14th seeded Stafford go up against 11th seeded Canyons and Delwood. And that's the Eastern Division.
Sick.
Taken down to its final four.
Done.
So, real quick, I do want to mention, because I'm going to create Instagram posts that are specific to each matchup like I did last time. Listeners, if you have been to these courses, that's a great place to comment on what the experience was like. Let us know if we were right in our choices. Let us know if we were wrong in our choices. Let us know if it wasn't a pain in the ass to text somebody and find out where the address is. All that kind of stuff. I really want to see the comment section light up on any type of experience that you have with regards to these courses that most of us here have not set foot in, but are still making judgment calls based off of pictures and descriptions. So maybe we're right, maybe we're wrong. And I definitely want to have those discussions with people. So hit up Instagram and let us know.
Yeah, especially because some of the reasoning behind some of my decisions is like so arbitrary. Like Bloody Climax played a factor in my decision.
Well, sure.
Sure, yeah, it
did.
Dog Mares really got me.
Yeah.
I love that call out. I would love to hear from listeners where we were right and or wrong.
Definitely.
I think that's that takes us to the end of this episode.
Or the bloody climax of it, if you really want to be honest.
It's a wrap on Destination Penetration Round 2.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Such good conversation, such good important topics.
Yes.
And you guys are like blazing trails. I really hope, like I said, that some other listeners in the academic world get some, you know, some gas in their tank. This should inspire people. I really hope it does. And you guys are just awesome for what you're doing, and you were great guests to have.
Yeah, if there's one teacher out there that gets a disc in a kid's hand that is like changed by that, and then it's all worth it, right?
100%.
All right, well, then another great episode. Thank you, Sheila, for setting this all up. The deucing never stops.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
Listeners, if you have not followed us on Instagram, Facebook, etc., make sure you go check out that Instagram page. Jason has curated a really lovely experience for you.
Pretty fun over there.
Yeah.
I like when the comments start coming in. That's a highlight of my day.
Yeah.
And leave us reviews on the podcast platforms. Like, share, comment, do whatever you can to help spread this show to more listeners. We sure like doing it, and we like when more people listen. Until next time, guys, thanks for listening, and keep it on the fairway.
See ya.
Later, y'all.
Bloody Climax.
Bye.
See ya.
Unstable Discourse is produced by Sheila Callahan. Edited by Ryan Fancher. Beats provided by Alex Seminary. And produced in association with Unstable Disc Golf Gear. Look good, feel good, play good.
Unstable Discourse is a Top Secret Studios production, baby.
First one's free, kids.